We're live.
So here's where my head's been lately. I've been on a super heavy conference schedule this year, especially in the last few weeks. So just in the last few weeks, it's been Pressnomics, WordCamp Maui, and Prestige. And every time I come away from one of these events, I always get super inspired to take on one of my passion projects and turn it into something viable. I've got this whole backlog of little nuggets and gems that I think this would be kind of cool. But doing that always leads me down the same path. First thing I want to think is, how am I going to bring this to market? Do I bootstrap this? Do I crowdfund this? Do we just drop everything, go into this whole hog? It's my new business. And then it always begs the more dangerous question, will pursuing this suck the passion out of the passion project? Am I living to work or am I working to live? This is just my daily existential crisis. I'm Jeff Zinn, and the Dradcast starts now.
From the bowels of WordPress Nation, it's
tough. You know what time it is.
All operators are busy at this time. Please hold.
Drag.
For the Dradcast. Here to talk WordPress news, events, and fizzy pop with community leaders.
Ultimately letting smarter people run the show weekly.
We bring you your favorite Santan alumnus, Brad Williams and Trey Armada. Sit back, folks, grab something to sip on, and get ready to press on. The Dradcast starts now.
Oh, yeah, we are back after a week break, I guess. I don't know. It's all good. Dre, what's up, man?
How you doing? No, we were here last week. I did it out of Las Vegas. It was awesome. I got to see you the next day throughout the weekend.
I don't know what day of the weekend it is. I feel like Jeff over there. I've been traveling, and between work and travel and everything else, it's just it's getting crazy. But man, it's good to see you. We had Jeff mentioned on the intro, and we'll bring him on in just a second. But we had a great time last weekend at a really fun event called Prestige Cuff.
I'm actually writing a blog post about that for the weekly post challenge. For those that don't know, I'm actually doing a post challenge, and you're welcome to join us on Facebook, Facebook group. And I'm going to write about Prestige and how interesting of an event it was. It was the second installation of it. Third one's coming up. If you haven't seen the PrestigeConf.com, it's back in Minneapolis. In fact, I've been put on the fight card, if you will. And I'll be speaking at number 3, so I'm pretty excited about it.
Fight card, I got one of those. Woo! I think 14 seconds. Dre's down in 14 seconds. What's the over under?
I go less than that, but that's
dude. No, it was a great event, and we're gonna get into that. Let's get Jeff on so we can get his take, because I think we had a lot of fun last weekend. I know I did, Dre. I know you did. It's Vegas. Come on, could you not have fun? But before we do that, we got to bring on our guest. He is the Zen Master, Mr. Jeffrey Zen. Jeff, man, what is happening?
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
We're excited.
Mainly just trying to get over this. I caught something when I was in Vegas.
That's
a terrible thing to say out loud, but
see, you know when they say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, that's not always true.
No.
Yeah.
Well, there's so many directions this can go, we should probably not take any of them.
I feel there's some show titles in here if we keep going down this road, but maybe we shouldn't. Great to have you on, man. You're on a milestone episode. We are episode 75. We're 75 to 100.
That's right. This is the diamond 75, right? And 75 was the year I was born, so that's even more awesome.
I can dig it.
Obviously, that's why we have you on this show. That's why we waited this long just for you, Jeff.
That's right, and I appreciate that. I wanted the show to get good before I came on. I always told Brandon, I'm not going to be on that thing until we get Mullenweg, and then I'll be on.
That's great, man. And, you know, there's a lot of firsts. I mean, 75, so this is your born 75.
Yeah.
Your first show.
Correct.
I think this might be the first show I've worn glasses. So we can chalk that up.
I don't know
up.
How you wear glasses with your headphones. I can never do that.
I don't know how either. Well, these are called billionaires, so obviously, yeah. I'm a baller. I'm a baller. Let's get into it. We got a lot to discuss, but before we do anything, I need to know what you guys are sipping on. Mm.
Hey, what you sipping on?
Oh, shucky ducky. So, Dre, I know you've had a fun afternoon there.
No, I haven't. But
that makes me very curious to know what you're sipping on.
Yeah, it's dry. I'm actually going to go train after this. I need to go get beat up.
That's cool.
I know it.
Debbie loves you.
Well, so I ended up getting a travel trailer, and it was a heck of a time getting everything finalized, as you two know. We don't need to get into details, do we? But what I will do is, after this, probably figure out a way to get that parked properly. So sober, I must stay.
Could this be the Drad World Tour travel trailer?
We are positioning ourselves quite nicely. I'll just say that.
Oh, yeah. Jeff, man, don't let me down. What do you got over there?
All right, so tonight I'm treating myself to a whiskey mule in the requisite copper cup.
That is beautiful.
That is beautiful. I don't care what you put in there. It makes me feel, like, warm and tingly inside. It's a nice mug.
That's pretty awesome.
Very cool. Well, I am drinking on a bottle of Captain Morgan Private Stock. I'm not even putting it in a glass because that shit's too formal for me. I'm just it's been one of those days. It's going down the hatch. I'm just kidding. I have a glass. But good old Captain Morgan Private Stock. Good stuff. So cheers, fellas, to a good show, hopefully. And nothing will cure a little bit of Vegas funk than some whiskey in your belly.
Yeah, that'll burn it all right out, right?
Mm. That's what I heard.
What the doctor told me, like, I don't know, 100 years ago, but it's all good, man. So so let's dive in. So you are, for those of you listening that may not be familiar with Jeff, you are one of the founders of Pixel Jar.
Correct.
Which is a fairly well-known WordPress kind of dev and design shop that's out there. We had your partner, Brandon Dove, on not too long ago, and these are the type of things I should look up, but it was actually episode 68.
There you go. It wasn't that long ago.
It wasn't that long ago. Actually, right before the new year, December 10th, we had Brandon on. So it was a great episode. Ding, pizza rolls are done. We love Brandon. We got into a lot of kind of how Pixel Jar came to be on his side. So I thought we could do is maybe do a bit of a TLDR on your side, kind of fill in the gap from when you got from into web to Pixel Jar, and then the Pixel Jar side we kind of cover with Brandon. But it might be fun to hear your take on it, because who knows, you got two different sides of the story. So. Yeah, we generally like to time these things, so if we're doing a quick TLDR, this is a new thing we're doing here, totally off the cuff. This is only the second week we've done this, but I'm going to give you a timer, and you're going to have 30 seconds, and I want to hear, in 30 seconds, from the time you got interested in web, into the web, until Pixel Jar started.
30 seconds, got it.
The clock starts right now.
Okay, so I had a GeoCities site that I really enjoyed, and I want to be able to edit it, so I learned how to do a little bit of HTML and JavaScript, and then I got a job at the university bookstore where I went to school, but then when I finished school, I became a teacher, but it turns out I didn't like that, so I quit that job, and then eventually I got another job as a web designer while I tried to figure out what I wanted to do, and I never figured out what I wanted to do, so now I'm a web designer.
15.
Nice.
Oh, we're done.
I think we should just fucking end the show now. That was awesome.
All right, well, if that's the case, Jeff, thanks for joining us, and we're out.
Yeah. No problem.
There you have it. Hey, can we do the rest of the show that way?
You know, this is only the second we've done this, and they've been able to really, like, cram it in quickly where we have time to spare. I always thought it was way too short. I should go 60 seconds, but that was awesome.
Thanks, man. I got a question for you, Brad. I think Brandon's episode was the first episode where I saw that box in the corner of your room that's kind of crammed. Oh.
This thing's kind of getting to...
it's been there for about 3 months now. I'm curious what that thing is.
Been there for a bit, and you would be shocked by how many people ask me about that box.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, if you can guess, if anybody out there can guess what's in that box, you can tweet me, email me, however you want to. You can be on the show and guess. If you can guess what's in that box, I will hook you up with something special.
My guess is promo booth materials.
And we have a winner, folks. Well, that didn't last long, did it?
Was that right?
I was going to cheat and say, hey, can I get a shot? Because I have the same box. But
There's some gray area there, but it's some promo crap. So, all right, well, I'll have to send you something now, Jeff. That was a fun game. Thanks for playing, ladies and gentlemen. And we're out. Thank you. So it is like a backdrop that I need to set up. I just have not done it yet. So we'll get to that. But so we got the TLDR, Wrap Pixel Jar. We're doing cool stuff.
Yeah.
You guys, you've been building cool stuff. You had Pixel Jar. You're running it for a while. There was the kind of the merge over or the acquisition over to Crowd Favorite, and then kind of the merge away from Crowd Favorite, or however you acquisition away. I don't know how you pronounce that, but and Brandon kind of talked about that, so I don't want to get too much into that. But what I think is the more interesting topic is you guys are a two-man shop. You're two people. Mm-hmm. And you've built a company and a brand that's not only widely known, widely respected, but, I mean, you guys are reeling in some big-name clients. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to throw names out there. That's up to you if you want to drop client names. But I think that's real interesting because I feel like a lot of people, you know, inside the community and outside the community, just in general, assume automatically if you're a two-person shop, you're not going to be able to reel in, you know, top-tier clients. You're going to be doing the more mom-and-pop shops, the smaller local stuff. You know, you might get a low five-figure gig, but beyond that, it's probably a little bit out of your comfort level. But, I mean, you guys are doing it, and you have been doing it. So I think there's a lot to be learned here, and I'd love to kind of drill into that a little bit. So I guess let me start here. Is this kind of was this your goal when you started PixelJar? Was it really kind of grow and get in these top tiers? Did it just kind of end up that way? And kind of, you know, once you get one, it's kind of a domino effect, and they just keep coming? Or, I mean, how did you, I guess, first get into that area of working with some of these really high-scale clients?
I think it was a slow burn, and I don't think it was our intent when we first started doing PixelJar. So the company that Brandon and I worked at kind of folded, and Brandon and I wanted to find another job, but we didn't find something right away. So it was Brandon's idea, like, hey, we should go into business for ourselves until we find another job. This is like a theme in my life. Until I figure out what I want to do, I'll do this other thing. And so Brandon and I, we very much lived in that space that you were talking about, those mom and pops. You know, we did that for the first couple of years, and then we kind of hit this wave of nonprofits for a while. And then starting getting into some mid-level things, and eventually, I think where it comes from is, so Brandon and I have been doing this for, 15 years. About 11 years is PixelJar, but we've been working together for about 15 years now. And along the way, you start, you know, you pick up different skills, you get better at what you do. You know, when we first started, it was just HTML and JavaScript, and then became PHP and MySQL, and then, started working with version control and, you know, Grunt and Gulp, and you have all these fun tools now. The problem is when you get those little, like, $2,000-$3,000 jobs, they don't necessarily facilitate going through all those motions, you know. So what you want to do is you want to spend 80 hours on a job that they're willing to pay you maybe 20 for. So you have to make a choice. Do you want to work 20 hours on this 20-hour project, or do you want to go and find the kind of projects where they want you to take the kind of care that you want to take with the project? Mm-hmm. But another thing that Brandon and I always look for, especially now, especially in the last probably 2-3 years, is we want clients that, because Brandon and I get into it. Like, we love working on these projects and finding the cool solutions. And we want our clients to be just as passionate as we are about the projects, which sometimes you can find, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you get the people who just say, you know, here's a website, just build me something just like it, but slightly better.
Could you just steal this website? How much does it just do the same thing?
Essentially.
I have questions like, what?
Yeah. So, yeah, at a certain point, it did become a thing that let's go out and specifically try and get some of these bigger jobs. And not that we want every job to be a big one, because you know, some of them take 6 months to a year to do, and you don't want that to be the only thing you've done for a year. So you have kind of one big overarching project you're working on, but a couple little ones underneath. Mm-hmm. So you get the satisfaction of finishing a few things, but meanwhile you're working on this big, huge thing. So that's where we are now.
Well, and that could be, I think, kind of juggling that, because working on the same project for 6 months and that's all you're doing, or even having maybe two of those or three of those and that's all you're doing, that can get very monotonous, right? Like, yeah. It's like you're not, I feel like just in our DNA as developers and designers, like, we need to complete things. We need to finish stuff for it to kind of, like, click, you know what I mean? Like, if we don't finish things, it like leaves this big, I don't know, hole or whatever you want to call it. Like, this, it's just, it doesn't, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's OCD, maybe a little bit like that if you're in this industry, but you got to finish. So that's a great point. Like, kind of having almost some smaller fish where you can, you know, knock out a few clients over the course of the 6 months while this bigger fish, you know, this bigger project's still going on,
right?
To make you feel like you're accomplishing stuff, to keep you motivated, keep you going, and maybe even try to avoid like a burnout scenario.
Definitely, and to speak to your point about it being just two guys or two developers, I think the trick with that is you have to be incredibly diligent about managing your time, because all of us know how easy it is to let a lot of freebies go by. You know, a client calls up and, hey, can you change this thing real quick? Sure, I'll take a day to do that, even though I'm working on this big six-month project or whatever it might be. So you have to be the kind of person, or at least have someone who's the kind of person to kind of keep everyone on task, such that you're turning out these little projects to kind of keep the capital coming in while you're also working on this bigger project. Mm-hmm. And just to make sure you don't overextend yourself, because again, it's easy, again, with us being in a services business, it's tough to say no to projects a lot of times, because you want to be successful, and a lot of times you can only see money coming in for the next 3 months or maybe 6 months. And so you get worried, like, well, what's going to happen after that? So you do have that tendency to just want to take everything that comes your way. So you have to be very mm-hmm. careful about making, because it's easy to keep taking the little projects and turning those out, but if you're neglecting the bigger project because of that, then you get into yourself to a
problem at the end. You really have to understand your bandwidth, I guess. I think that's a challenge regardless of the size you are. I think it's a challenge with 2 people. I think it's a challenge with 30 people or 100 people. I don't think anyone has that nailed. Like, really understand that bandwidth, and especially in our industry, and understanding, because it's all peaks and valleys, right? Like, you go through times where you guys are strapped and probably putting in way more than 8-hour days, and then I would bet there's other times where you're like, I don't even know what I should work on right now. I'm a little bit worried that I'm not working right now. You know, like, why am I not working? There's money not coming in. Like, it's peaks and valleys, right? So trying to figure out, so it's just kind of this nice plateau, this nice flat surface in terms of work, is really hard to do.
How
have you guys managed that?
We've just like everyone else, we've had some hard times, we've had some great times. It's just like you said, that's the interesting thing about, and maybe it's not just our industry, but definitely working with WordPress, is even when you find a pipeline that's like a super steady and reliable pipeline, like, I've got this all wired in, I use this, that, the other thing, and these developers, that tends to last at best maybe a year, maybe 2 years if you're really lucky, and then things change, people move around, they change jobs, whatever happens, and then you start from scratch again, or who knows what. And Brandon and I have been on both sides of that, where we're doing great, and sometimes we're not doing so well. But even when we're not doing well, we'll fill our time with something. So that's where, like, AdSanity came out of a dry period. So we thought, well, we'll build a premium plugin until we find another job.
So you guys have, the move back into the world of Pixel Jar, which I'm excited about, because you guys are picking up some pretty cool projects, and I think some really neat stuff's gonna be I think released at some point here, and I'm excited about that. But with the change that you guys went through, going into the whole crowd favorite scenario, and then back now. We don't need to get into specifics there, but now it's been a little bit of time. How are you guys feeling in terms of what you learned there? What maybe stapled the envelope for you? Really, really put you guys in a place where you found perspective. How do you feel now? I mean, have you been able to implement some of the things that you learned, wrong or good or bad from that experience?
Absolutely. Here's the two big. So the company Brandon and I worked at before Pixel Jar, a lot of that were lessons of what not to do. The difference was when we were at Crowd Favorite, we saw a lot of cool ways to run a company. It was great for, because again, up to Crowd Favorite weekend, we've been working together for a long time, so we'd definitely gotten, not stale, but we got pretty comfortable in our ways. So it's great to see how other people work, to work with other developers, see what they were doing. It also gave us a lot of perspective on. One thing that Brandon and I have always stumbled on is, I think, growth. So, again, Brad touches on us just being 2 guys, and I don't know if that's a function of us being too protective of, the kind of work that we put out. Like, we want to be the ones that put it out, or if we're just not the kind of people who are good enough at business to start getting employees and move ourselves into that kind of space. But what we saw at Crowd Favorite was, if we were to start growing Pixel Jar to, some employees and a much more sizable development firm, we see the kind of things that we know we need to do to make that happen, so that it's a much smoother transition and we're being proactive rather than reactive when that happens. Mm-hmm. So that was very positive. And again, I'll always be thankful to Kareem and Chris and Jason for all the opportunity they gave us and everything they taught us. And it was a very positive experience all the way around. Sure. It's just,
I think that it's cool to hear that. And we heard, you know, the same thing from Brandon and obviously from the crowd favorite side too. And I think it leads to this bigger topic of, like, why are we all so friendly? You know what I mean? Like, it's like, you look at, like, you know, agencies, big or small, like, in this WordPress community, and that's what I'm familiar with. So it may very well be similar in other open source communities or other, you know, dev communities in general. But I've always felt like the community within WordPress is a little bit extra special because, you know, the companies out there, do we compete on jobs? Absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt about it, and we know that. We all know that, but it's like a friendly competition, you know what I mean? And and to know that you guys could be kind of brought into the fold of CrowdFavor and then leave that fold, and there's still like a very good relationship there on both sides, I think is really unique. I think in most industries that would not happen.
I'd like to step back a second there because I think for the most part that's what this community is. Every community, even as awesome and open and kind of helpful we are to each other, there's some idiots that they think it's okay to badmouth. It's okay to go behind closed doors and once anyone say something and then say something in the other. I think what's exciting about, and we see that today. I've seen that even through this weekend, right? Like that's just going to happen. But those that kind of step beyond that, help each other. That strength in numbers, we grow together, we make it a better community, we do more kick-ass stuff by heading into kind of an open, more friendly direction than we do by bad-mouthing and just doing silly stuff. So for those that are out there that are doing that, you might want to reconsider what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, it's wasted energy, wasted effort, right? Like, what's the
point? Noise.
What's the point of that crap? Like, we're all out here to do cool stuff and build cool things. Like, we don't need to, you know, stoop down to that level of nonsense and back chatter and talking crap. Like, I don't understand. A fun story is you guys landed, you know, Pixel Jar, and I think this speaks very interesting to our community because, you know, Pixel Jar, you and Pixel Jar and WebDev were, you know, after the same client a few years ago, a very big tier client, and you guys won. I mean, the two of you beat us out, and we weren't as big as we are now, but we were still, I want to say, 15 people or so at the time. So, like, in this industry, size doesn't matter as much as a lot of people think. Like, it's all about what you bring to the table. Not to say we brought less to the table, but, you know, they saw something in you guys that they wanted, and ultimately the project worked out great, and I couldn't have been happier. When I found out who won it, I was actually extremely happy. I was like, oh, awesome. Jeff and Brandon got it. Sweet. It's people I like and people I know are going to do a good job. Like, definitely. I didn't feel bad that I lost the job. I felt good that they ended up, you know, in good hands.
There was a job we were bidding on once. Us and Binary M and a couple other companies, but Binary M was the one that I knew in particular. And it was funny because at a certain point during the bidding process, they kind of disclosed to each of us individually, you know, here's the other people we're kind of looking at.
That's always fun.
It was, but
not awkward at all.
Yeah, not awkward at all.
When they got to Binary M, I had made a comment to the guy. I said, "Oh, I said you do well to stick with them. Like if their vibe fits you, then that's the way you want to go."
Yeah.
And the guy that was doing the bidding said, "Because that's funny. They actually said the same thing about you guys." And I think that. So I think what it is.
That's so
at least
cool.
For us, no, it was super neat. It was very. Yeah. You know, it made you feel good. But I think.
Yeah.
So many of us, because we don't rely on. Because we're not like big, like Fortune 500 companies. We don't rely on advertising or anything. So much of our work is referral based and based on our reputation. And I think a lot of us have that mentality that if you, again, if you're very positive about stuff, so if I give you a referral, that may come back to me in some way. And we've had that happen before. We've given out jobs to other firms because we didn't have the bandwidth or who knows what. And even that client will remember, you know, you sent us over to this other company. The other company was fantastic. They treated us great. You know, my brother's got a website that he needs or whatever, and then they come back to you for that.
So you remember that. Like, you did them good. You did them a solid, you know?
Exactly. So, again, just...
Karma, man. It's all karma.
We've actually implemented process where every lead that comes in, I mean, unless it's just blatant spam, right? Like, someone stupid. just something really silly. We refer everyone out. I mean, like, we vet and qualify our leads, and if it's something that makes sense for us to have that initial discussion, we'll do that. If it doesn't work out, we'll refer. Yeah. If it comes in and it just is clearly not a fit for us, we've built some criteria of different areas where other folks that we trust, the Pixel Jars of the world and other organizations that it may make sense. And we trust. We know that if we send someone over there, we have trust that they're going to do a good job, and the client will be happy if they decide to engage each other. And I think that that's a really neat thing to do. It doesn't take us that much time. It's not a huge overhead. And we give the ability for someone to have another course or avenue to try to figure out a way to get their stuff done, and we give an opportunity to those people that we trust in our network. I think it's a super cool way to do it.
Yeah,
I agree.
It's, I mean, we've sent leads out to all different companies. We see them send leads to us, and it's not necessarily saying, oh, these people are bad. It's like, oh, well, they need to start right away, and we just can't. You know, we're 2 months out, so it's just time-wise we can't do it, or whatever it is. So it's, it's one thing I really love about this community is that there's obviously some competition, but it's like very friendly competition, and it's not a whole lot of backstabbing and, well, this is why Pixel Jar sucks, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no.
They're a great guy. They suck, might,
yeah. You probably have more reasons than I know, but but it's exactly what you were saying too earlier in terms of, you guys both kind of complimented each other. You know, you and Binary M, you gave each other compliments, not on the same call, like completely independent, with no, you weren't telling the other person, oh, I'm going to talk you up. It was like you guys just did it because you like and trust the other company, and I feel like there's a lot of that in this community, and that's something that I've always felt is very unique to our community. I'm sure there's other communities that do that, but I think a lot don't. And it's a lot of backstabbing and trash talking, and this is why we're better than you. Like, I will never, if a potential lead ever comes to me and says, why are you better than any other company out there? I won't answer the question the way they ask. I will explain to them why I think we're the best person for the job or the best company for the job.
Right.
I'm not going to sit there and talk trash about other companies, especially if I don't know them.
Like, nope.
Why would I do that? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
It's bad business.
I'm not going to talk trash regardless. Like, it's just bad. It's just a bad vibe. Like, why? Like, I'm not going to talk trash. And yeah, and that even it can be a potential flag to the person you're talking to. Like, why would you want me to talk trash? Like, you want to go negative on an initial phone call? That's kind of weird. Like, that throws a bit of a red flag for me, whether I want to actually work with this person.
It's a
negative right away. Brad Williams said the Pixel Jar doesn't know what they're doing.
The Pixel Jar is crazy.
You want to know about Jeff? You should watch his golf game.
That's right.
Yeah. He's gangster. No, I think that the same kind of thing is a red flag for me when I'm vetting employees or candidates, right? Mm-hmm. It's not really cool when you're just, you know, dropping bombs on your ex-employer. Yeah. Well, that's kind of a weird thing.
Nobody needs that negative.
No more negative. So let's talk a little bit about a positive here. You were one of the main dudes behind WordCamp OC along with Brandon over the years. It has been one of my favorite camps. Being a OC guy, I feel like it's my hometown camp. How did that come about, man? And what was that ride like?
It was awesome.
And why do you keep scheduling the same weekend as WordCamp Philly? That's really what I want to know. If we're getting out of brass tacks.
That was purely out of spite, actually.
Yeah, okay. Well, confirmed.
Well played.
So this is 2009, I think. Brandon and I went to WordCamp San Francisco. It was our first WordCamp, and then we went to WordCamp LA right after that. And then Brandon goes, he goes, we're going to put one on. I said, you're out of your mind. We're not doing that. And Brandon goes, I'm putting it on then. So, and it was one of those things, like, obviously, if he's going to do it, then I'm going to help him do it. And we had the first one, which went well, I think.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. And that's where I met Dre, actually.
Yeah.
Although I called you Drew. I remember that.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yep. Yeah.
Sorry, I got one for that.
Oh, Drew. The funny thing about that is that's also where my wife met Dre. But we met him independently, so my wife came to the WordCamp, and I think my wife was watching Blair Williams' talk, and Dre was in there, and she said, for whatever reason, she turned to Dre, who she didn't know, and said, I'm going to go ahead and get some cookies. You want anything? And Dre said, of course I want some cookies.
Why would you ask me that, obviously?
I know. So they became cookie buddies. And then after the WordCamp, we were talking about different people we'd met, and she kept talking about the Cookie Man. And then about a year later at the next WordCamp, Dre came up and she goes, hey, Cookie Man! I said, oh, that's Dre. And then we realized, oh, we were talking about the same person the whole time.
Cookie Man.
By the way, your wife's a sweetheart, and I haven't talked to her in a while. I hope she's doing very well.
Hmm. Random Thank Cookie you. Man. I like it.
Yeah, so we did the first year, we did the second year, and then third year, went well, but we at that point we kind of started thinking it was time to hand over the reins to someone else, just to get some fresh voices in there and get a different opinion on how the WordCamp should be. But no one really stepped up, so we did that one, and then we did a fourth one, and we did a fifth one, which was last year.
So we're going to hand it off, and then we did three more WordCamps. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, every time, because usually our WordCamp was in June, and usually about January at a meetup, we'd say, you know, we'd like someone else to pick it up, and they go, ah, you got it, it's fine.
You guys are great.
So this year we said, we're very serious this year, like, if nobody else picks us up, like, WordCamp's just not happening, and then it became silent in the room, like, what? Oh, no. But luckily for us, Dave Margowski is leading this year's WordCamp, so Brandon and I and a bunch of other people are helping him. But Dave's been doing a great job. I'm 100% confident this will be the best WordCamp Orange County.
That's awesome. I mean, you set the stage for it, right? So, you know, obviously 3 years ago or whatever year it was, it wasn't ready to be handed off, or it would have happened, you know, that maybe the community wasn't quite ready for it or whatever it was. Like, it just wasn't quite ready, but it sounds like now it is ready. And you guys have, I mean, I think OC has one of the best, like, local communities around WordPress that I've actually seen. I mean, you are really, you have a great group. You have amazing meetups. You have an awesome, like, Facebook group that's extremely active. Like, you just have a solid group of people that are extremely engaged around WordPress.
We have fanatics.
Fanatics is a great way. I went to OC, I think it was 2 years ago, and it was a top-notch camp. I mean, across the board, it was top-notch. It was obvious that you guys have done this before. It's obvious that the community was there to support it, and you had some amazing speakers, most of them local. Mm-hmm. It was just top to bottom, just a great camp, and that's the reason I want to go. And you know, I'm on the East Coast, so go out west is a big trip for me. So I only do it a few times a year. But I knew I needed to get to OC because all the things I'd been seeing and hearing, I was like, I have to go. And we did a live Dradcast, so that helped. But
you did, which was fun. That was one of those. So every year we always try and do something that makes it different and stand out from every other year, because sometimes you do go to those WordCamps where every year they just.
It's same exact same.
On the show every time.
Yeah. Cookie cutter, yeah.
And you can't really distinguish, like, was that, you know, that was 2011, 2012? I don't remember anymore. So hopefully there's something distinct for everyone each year.
Yeah, OC is great. If you're out in the West Coast, even if you're not, look at OC. And it's a great, I mean, it's summer, you're in California, it's a cool area, there's a lot to do. Plus, it's a great camp and a great community. So if you haven't been, especially if you're nearby in driving distance, you need to go. You need to check it out. So it's what's the dates this year?
This year will be June 5 and 6. Mm-hmm. And you can go to oc.wordcamp.org.
And I will certainly be attending. I'm going to put the organizers on blast right now. I think that you should have a live drag cast and make Brad get the hell out here as well.
Just throwing it out there. Oh, that's going to be true.
I'm trying to make it as tricky as possible for you.
If that's an option, then that would probably have to happen. So the tricky part is, it looks like Philly's going to be the next weekend.
The next week.
I am not the lead organizer this year, so I kind of another position that you guys did. It's like, we never really called anyone a lead per se, but I was like, I'm not. This year we kind of did. I was like, it's not going to be me. So I'm still extremely involved, but I'm not the lead per se. So I might be able to sneak away for a couple days.
Oh, no, I got the dates wrong. It's June 6 and 7. I think I said 5 and 6. 6 and 7.
Six and seven. So that weekend, June 6th, the weekend.
Yeah, first weekend of June.
Very cool. Check it out. So it's on WordCamp.org. And before we move on, I mean, I'd be remiss if we didn't mention the fact that Jeff and I are both Hoosiers.
Yes.
And so we're both born in the great state of Indiana. And, like, the funniest part about this story is neither one of us knew it until, I don't know, when did we first discover? A few months back. It wasn't that long ago.
It was Pressnomics, I think.
Pressnomics.
This
January. Yeah. 2 months ago. Less than 2 months.
Yeah, we've known each other.
We've known each other for a few years now. We just, like, in random conversation, we found out we're both born in Indiana. We both have friends and family in Indiana. We know all the same towns. It was really funny how that just came to be. So if you're in Indiana and you're listening,
we'd like a WordCamp, please.
We are trying to rally the troops because there needs to be a WordCamp in Indianapolis. It has never happened. In fact, there's some people squatting the domain. I think with enough pressure, we can fix that. But it has never happened. So while we will not be the ones to organize it, we will absolutely support that event. So you got Brad on your side. You got Jeff on your side. You got all the people that we know that we can guilt into helping out and contributing and speaking and sponsoring. I mean, I really don't think there's a lot of work, but it's got to be somebody local to take those reins. So if you're in Indianapolis and you're into WordPress and you think it'd be cool to have a WordCamp Indy, reach out to us because we'd love to help make that happen.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
WordCamp Hoosiers, Hoosierland. I mean, there's so many cool things you could do with that WordCamp.
Hoosier Camp.
Hoosier Camp.
That was so funny, though, because we've known each other for years, and it just never came up in conversation. And one day we're like, oh, I'm from Indiana. What?
Yeah, but it's not even that we're both from Indiana. We're actually from towns that are very close together. It's like we're in the same county.
Yeah. It's eerie. It's eerie.
It's not Erie, Indiana. That's not where it is.
Well, it's not Erie, Indiana. There's a lot of towns in Indiana, so if I just say random words, you'll think, no, it's not that town. It's not Santa Claus, Indiana.
No.
Well, Santa Claus, funny stuff. I want to bring up one last topic before we move on. I happened to spot you recently, what looks to be in a school setting, on the show Friends. I mean,
why do I not have the Friends music queued up?
We should have the Friends music queued up.
Oh, my gosh.
It is Jeffrey like I met you, it seems, man. It you haven't changed a bit, and you're sitting there at a school desk, and it's the most amazing thing ever.
It is so funny.
How the hell does that even go down?
The funniest thing about this is that it wasn't a thing for 20 years. This was no big deal. And it's still not a big deal, let's be clear about that. But suddenly...
Oh, it's a very big deal.
It's a huge deal.
You're mistaken, sir.
So again, going back to Pressnomics. So this is Pressnomics. So I was an extra in Friends, for those who aren't aware of this. Which means nothing, by the way. This means I signed up for a service, and they said, hey, we need people who look like college students. And I said, I look like a college student. And they said, okay, sit here, be quiet.
You looked very interested, like...
I was. Hmm. Yeah, you do that, you raise your hand, like, what? I have a question.
Dr. Ross, I don't quite understand.
Yeah. So when we're at Pressnomics, Robert Ninehouse, who does a lot of the wonderful design work for PixelJar.
Robert's awesome. He did the logos for WordCamp OC as well.
As well as the original Dradcast.
Yes.
Why did I forget that? Yeah, Robert is amazing. When there's logo work to be done, that's where we send people.
Correct. We always say Robert makes PixelJar look handsome. That's why we look so good. Anyway, Robert and Brandon were in the hotel room at Pressnomics. I went down to get something out of the car, and I came back, and my episode of Friends is on the TV. And I was like, oh, my God, I think that's my episode. Which I hadn't seen in years. And you're kind of watching and listening, like, the only thing I really remember is, you know, in Friends, everybody has a storyline that's going on. And I only remember what Ross was doing. That's so true. I remember Joey also had a hernia because he was lifting weights. And he kept saying, damn you, 15s, because the 15s are the ones that gave it to him. So I'm kind of waiting for one of those two things to come up. Either
so did they know that this was your show, or was this just randomly on?
Okay, well, so that's the thing. Brandon knew about it, which I'm sure I told him at some point. But the thing was, they had put it on Netflix, and specifically my episode, so that when I came
so
back...
So they pulled it up. So they
yeah,
were
they pulled it up for okay, me gotcha. To see if I was...
Was it just some random there flipping the channel, and there's your episode?
No, but that happens. I mean, that episode, every time the episode comes on, my mom always calls me, your episode's on! And she recorded it like she hasn't seen it before.
That's great.
So once I figured out they were just having a go at me, we all had a good laugh, and then... And this is the part I'm actually kind of fuzzy on, but somehow Brandon told Cody about this, Cody Landefeld, and then Cody put it all over Facebook and Twitter, and it was all over. It was funny, but the funniest thing Cody did is he photoshopped me out of the Friends episode and started putting me in like every 90s sitcom. So he had a picture of me in Frasier and a picture of me in the Mother Show.
You had Frasier, Seinfeld. You're at like the cafe or the diner in Seinfeld. And so, they were actually not terrible. So like if you're just skimming through, you're like, holy shit, this guy's been on like 10 sitcoms.
The Frasier one's actually pretty good.
It was hilarious. And that's when I saw it. And then we're golfing the next day for Pressnomics. So I'm like, dude, you're famous. You're like, you were on all these sitcoms.
I'm fully famous. Yeah, I get into any club I want. all the time. I call Jennifer Aniston on the phone all the time. Actually, she calls me. She's actually pretty annoying.
Man, it must be hard to have it like that.
Jen,
yeah.
Stop your drama. Come on. That's cool. That's a fun story, and it's neat. We'll have to dig up that photo. Maybe we can get out there on the Dradcast Twitter stream.
Yeah, that's
frantically digging through Facebook.
Crucial.
Probably deleted or something, but
I did.
We'll find it.
No, go to Cody's page. You'll find it eventually.
Oh, we'll find it. Don't you worry. It'll happen.
Yeah, the funniest thing about that, though, is so Cody, like I said, that night he just started posting all that stuff, and then the next day he, at breakfast, he goes, "Hey, man, I'm really sorry. I didn't ask you first. I don't know if that's like something you don't want to know about." It's like, oh, I don't. It's fine. It's just, it's not the first thing you always start in conversation. Like, "Hey, my name's Jeff. By the way, I was in Friends."
Yeah, I was on Friends. I feel like I would always start the conversation with that. Like, if I was on Friends, you might remember me from such sitcoms as Friends, Seinfeld, and Crazy.
No, I would have asked today, but I didn't feel that adding five more people that know would be a big deal. You're good.
Yeah.
No, it's fine. Like I said, I'm fine that people know it's...
That's our parents and, like, one random person.
Yeah.
That probably works at WebDev that we forced to listen. We will find those. We will find those pictures. We'll get them on. We'll get them up on Twitter. That is my mission.
You know, it was... my wife and I went to Morocco over Thanksgiving break. And same thing happened to me there. Like, my wife totally set me up. So it was on, like, a group trip, so it was about... a dozen people or so, and I went to the bathroom. I came back, and suddenly everybody's talking about Friends. And I thought, you don't think too much about it. And then it starts getting a little more suspicious, and like everybody has something to say about Friends until finally it gets to this Australian guy that was with us, and he said something to the tune of, "If I knew anyone that was on Friends, I'd punch him right in the face."
What? Yeah. Why is he so aggressive about people being on Friends? That's weird.
He wasn't. They were just waiting for me to finally say something.
There you have it.
Yeah.
I have found this, people. Let's share this all over the interweb.
You found it?
Yeah.
You were good.
It was sent to me by someone who will remain unnamed.
And
someone right now? Someone live?
Oh, yeah.
Of course. Oh, there she is. There she is. That's it's rocking the total butt cut, too. I love it. Like, that's definitely a 90s haircut.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Butt cut. You're killing it.
I still don't know.
You're a natural blonde. You're natural blonde, right? So that was just a bug.
Oh, yeah. Very blonde. Although my beard's weirdly dark, and I can't explain that.
Do you have a beard? I can't even... I thought that was a shadow.
No,
you're pretty young, dude.
I feel like... No, I couldn't grow a beard until I was like 33.
Oh, dude, that's awesome. We will get a picture of this in the show notes. So if you're not listening live, hit the show notes on the website, dradcast.com. We'll have a link over there. You can check out... check out Jeff and all of his glory. So
the big takeaway from this episode.
I also thought you hosted another show that people might be familiar with called Mythbusters. Are you not a never hosted that show?
I've never Mythbusters.
Okay, for some reason I thought maybe you. Maybe you put a beret on, shave your head a little bit.
I could see it,
but. All right, Dre, we got to move, man. We're this show's almost over, and we're still here jaw-jacking with Jeff. So let's get into some pressing topics.
Pressing
topics of the week.
Well, we're going to talk about some events coming up in a minute, but there's a new one. This seems to be the trend. We've talked about it before. I'm pretty excited about this one because it's a little bit on the other side of the spectrum. We've seen a lot around developers, and LoopConf coming up, I think it's within 60 days here of Prestige, this last Prestige. This one, first sponsored by Automattic, which is interesting. It is called ThemeConf. Mm-hmm. It's happening in Europe. I believe it's in London. This is awesome. ThemeConf, if you go to themeconf.com, it's the 18th and 19th of June in Keswick, UK. A new conference for themers, designers, and front-end developers. How rad is that?
Yeah. I mean, two reasons I like this. One, it's the theme conf everyone's kind of been waiting for. Like that specialized niche conference for themers, designers, front-end devs. And two, it's in Europe, right? It's in the UK. So I feel like it's cool to see like these kind of niche conferences get overseas because we haven't seen a lot of that yet. So it's spreading, and the first theme one is going to be in the UK, which is really cool. So, and I'm not even a designer, but I think, this is neat to see this going on.
I'm pretty pumped about this one, because you don't see a lot of front-end stuff, but that's my favorite part of development is front-end. But if you look at where that is, it's not an easy place to get to, I don't think. It's not, I mean, it's not like Mullendon, it's not...
I have no idea where it's at. It's in Keswick, Cumbria, UK. Let me...
Yeah,
I will backpack across Europe to get there.
Well, backpack live on the Dreadcast. So we are about... well, it's in the UK.
Yeah, it's in the UK.
So I zoom out like I have any idea what these distances are. I guess I should actually map it. All right, let's see how far it is to London. So London, UK. This is good live show right here. So especially it's about 4.5 hours outside of London. It's it's actually really north. Wow.
Yeah.
It's like Scotland.
Yeah.
Well, you're closer if you're in Scotland than you are if you're in London.
I'm not saying it's not a reason not to go, but...
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting. We'll see how it goes off. But I think it's cool that, one, these are going to go over in the UK. There's not a lot of info on the website. I guess the one thing about these type of conferences I would love to see is who's behind them. And this reminds me of, you know, 2 or 3 years ago with WordCamps. It was like, who's behind them? Is this like an SEO marketing weird thing? Now, the fact that Automattic is sponsoring it makes me believe it's probably legit and pretty good. But if that Automattic thing wasn't at the bottom, I'd be very leery until I knew who was behind this.
We're talking 3 months, though, man, and there's really no speaker info or anything else. I mean, especially if they're going to target people coming from the States.
They better get it out there.
That's a bit challenging, so that's very interesting.
I hope it works out. We'll see. Yeah, I think we all hope it works out. It's cool to see this type of stuff crop up, though.
I do too, but I hope that style of conference starts trending and moving around too, because I do like the press topics and the prestigious, but again, front end development is definitely the neglected.
Well, and I think the idea of it bouncing around, like I think Prestige has a really interesting idea, and it sounds like Pressnomics might be doing that too, because there was hints from Josh that it's going to go overseas next year, but the idea of having these really niche conferences that move.
Yeah.
Like Prestige, the first one was in Minnesota, the second one was in Vegas. Awesome. You're hitting kind of, you know, you're in the Midwest, you're in the West Coast, you're hitting some different areas.
Yep.
Pressnomics gets over to the overseas into Europe. Awesome. Like the idea of having these really niche conferences is awesome, but the idea of it moving around so other people that maybe can't travel as far can make it to it, I think is even cooler.
We got a couple more events coming up that are just, you know, just as targeted. These are conferences, one-day conferences around WordPress bloggers and the people behind it, like WordPress.com. It's called Press Publish. If you head to presspublish.events, there's two of them coming up. One is Portland, Oregon, March 28th, and another one on April 18th in Phoenix, Arizona. So another very targeted style event, one-day event.
I think so they announced a price drop here, and that caught my eye. So it's a niche style event, right? It's very specific to a certain topic, and they've dropped the price. We saw this also with LoopConf. So it almost begs the question, like, are they announcing pricing a little bit too early before they get, you know, a little bit more legit sponsor backing? Like, why are we announcing prices and then, like, 2 weeks later dropping prices? And we've seen this at two events in the past month.
Well, I just don't think that, well, either very quick feedback or not enough feedback quick enough.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one or the other. It's just not moving how they expected.
Do you think it's a marketing thing, though? Like, you know, once the price drops, then you think, like, ah, oh, I thought it was going to be $8, but now it's $6, and now I'm definitely going to go.
Yeah, I think that's one part of it.
Good.
No, sorry. I think the other part of it is, I mean, you look at LoopConf, there was a lot of discussion around, hey, we want to see higher price events if the value's there.
Yeah.
Let's validate the event first. I mean, like, you're talking about a first-time conference, and you want to charge, I mean, just a number that's never been seen in the space. It's a little bit challenging for, I think, businesses, especially smaller shops, to say, hey, I want to send my developers there and spend $1,000 just on a ticket. I still got to worry about all the logistics of rooms and travel and all that fun stuff.
Absolutely.
What's the value look like? Let me make sure that's I feel like that's in place first.
It's a great point. I feel like the ticket prices are getting announced like a little bit too early. I think they're jumping the gun on, and I understand it. They want to sell tickets. They want to understand feedback, but like get the sponsors lined up, at least the top tier sponsors, like the main sponsors, because those are the ones. You get a sponsor that's $10,000 or $20,000, that's the one that can actually reduce the price, like those top-tier sponsors. Get those lined up before we start dropping prices out there. Like, LoopConf is obviously changed. It's night and day from where it initially launched with the price and where it's at now. And they did an amazing thing. So if you go to loopconf.io/value, they have a whole page kind of justifying why they're charging what they are, which is a brilliant idea. Like, it really puts a perspective on why you're paying what you're paying, which is awesome, right? This is, and they're kind of billing this as, send this to your boss or send this to whoever pays the bills, or if this is for you, this is why you're paying this, which I think is great. It really justifies the cost, and so there's no question that it's worth what it is now. But they also dropped the price a few hundred bucks, I think. So, yeah. Like, I almost wonder if they're getting a little bit too antsy and maybe we should wait another couple weeks and try to get those top-tier sponsors locked in to really solidify that cost before they start announcing stuff. I don't know. I'm just throwing things out there.
Yeah, I think another issue they're having, though, is that there are a lot of these popping up now. And it was a time, like, we all went to Pressnomics because that was the only event we really had. But now there's, like, some choices. Mm-hmm. Now you got to think, like, which ones am I going to go to?
Yeah, based on the value you think you're going to get out of them, right? Like, is the idea of the business, you know, building the business side of things?
But there's definitely
need. And then you got Pressnomics, you got, you know, Prestige. Is it the dev? You want to get better as a dev. Then you got Loop. Now you've got a theme one coming out. So it's, yeah. You're right. You're really going to have to kind of base it based on the value you think you're going to get out of it and where you're at in your, whatever you're doing, you know.
I think it's definitely going to be a saturation.
It's coming. I think we all know it's coming.
Yeah.
This is like premium themes circa 2009. Like, you know what I mean? Like, 2009, it's like, oh, there's a lot of cool options. It's all good. And then 2010 and 11, it's like, what the fuck? Like, there's just shit everywhere. I don't know what to buy. And nowadays, it's like, I'm not even searching premium themes because it's just, it's redonkulous, you know? So.
Redonkulous. So redonkulous that we need to move on. That's how quickly the show has went today. It's kind of crazy. I think, Brad, it's time for this week's Bar Tricks.
Let me show you a bar trick.
Oh, yes. I'm going to go ahead and rock and roll. You know what's funny is on the... on the Hangout, Jeff's picture is frozen with a big old cheesy grin, which is kind of funny. we started figuring ways to make our proposals kind of process a little bit cleaner at WebDev Studios, and this is something that I want to say, that was it you or Lisa that found this, Brad? There's a tool
probably
to create, but there's a tool to create online proposals. Really beautiful proposals called Proposify. So if you go to proposify.biz, it streamlines your proposals in the cloud and has all sorts of cool features. You come in, you create, you know, these templates and themes. So you have, like, let's say all of the regular content that you would have inside of your proposal, whether it's stuff about your team or different portfolio items or whatever that is, you can create into this workflow that all that stuff's available, and then you just kind of punch in the stuff that's specific to the project, and then you send it out through the actual software, through the actual website, and you can collaborate with your team within the actual proposal. You can get signatures right through the software. Online previews of everything, and then it gives you tracking mechanisms and metrics to kind of measure how many proposals have been viewed, what you've won based on what you put out, what you've lost. Just a super cool tool that I would recommend you go check out. It might help you with your proposal process. Proposify.biz.
Yep, and just to give proper attributes or, you know, whatever, that's actually a recommendation from Justin Santa. Santa, something like that. Justin Santoon. No. Justin, actually, I was asking people about how they do their proposals, and I was like, well, we use Word. What else would you use? And I'm like, what do you use?
Anything else.
It's actually amazing. So definitely check it out, Proposify. Awesome service.
Yes, sir.
Jeff, Zen right, Master. So
here's why I admit that this is the most confusing part of the show for me. But I think what we're supposed to do is suggest something.
Suggest something that you think is cool.
Okay, and here's what I...
It doesn't have to be WordPress related. We really don't care.
Here's what I think. So this is something that Brandon started at our advanced WordPress meetup. is so WordPress has the you know the give back policy, and a lot of companies do this. You know, your 10-ups and you guys do when you get back to core and stuff like that. But we don't see a lot of the meetups doing it. So what I would propose is take one meetup or half a meetup every 6 months or a quarter or whatever, and just hit the forums or write a patch or something. Use the meetup as a forum for giving back if you're not doing that.
Contribute. Yeah. Contribute. I like it. And I like the point that you emphasize the forums, because a lot of meetups have such a wide range of attendees, right? So you have, there's devs, there's designers, there's sysadmins, there's, mm-hmm. there's, you know, people putting smaller sites together. There's people that all they do is write. They don't even care what's underneath it. You know what I mean? So I've mentioned this a few times with our own meetup group. You don't have to write code to contribute.
Mm-hmm.
In the support forum, and if you can answer one question, you just contributed, you know? And it's not going to be a, how do I, what function should I use to do X, Y, Z? You don't have to answer that question. It might be a simple one that you absolutely know, so dive in there and help people out. That's a great way to contribute.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah. If you go, so those of you who are curious, go to make.wordpress.org, and you'll see a ton of ways to get back to WordPress that aren't code-related. It could be translations, it could be anything, just documentation. But Corey from iThemes always says it best when he says, you're good if somebody else is awesome. So even though you think like you're at the bottom, there's always someone who's behind wherever you are.
Love it.
That's great. Yeah, I didn't mean to kill the show with that. I got really silent and weird for a second.
You know what, Jeff? That's exactly what you did. So I'll go into my bar trick before it gets too awkward. So my bar trick, I just want to give a big shout out and point out the amazing stuff that WP Tavern's doing right now. So check out, if you're not already looking at this, you need to look at WPTavern.com, because they have, you know, they've raised the stakes. They're doing some amazing content. Jeff and Sarah over there, they're just pumping out awesome content every day. Like, if you're not subscribed, if you, you know, it was in a bit of a down period and a little bit dormant for a while, but they've been back for quite a bit, and the stuff they're pumping out is, especially if you're in this industry, you need to subscribe, and at the very least, you need to be skimming links to see if anything relates to you. Because if you're in this industry and you're not following the news, you're going to get passed very, very quickly. You need to know what's going on. And WP Tavern is doing amazing jobs. Check out WPTavern.com. They're still doing the WordPress Weekly on, I believe it's still, it might be after this show. I don't know. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. They're as consistent as we are. But it's a great blog. Subscribe to it. Check out their RSS feed. And check out their podcast. I like, you know, just for the record, Sarah's killing it. Jeff's like, eh. I'm just kidding. I like giving Jeff shit. Jeff and I go way back. I was actually on episode one of WordPress Weekly, one of the first podcasts I was ever on. So if you want a great listen, go check that one out. It's still on the website.
ThemeConf coming up 18th, 19th of June. Folks, there's a lot of great WordCamps coming up. You need to start your circuit. If you haven't planned already, you're going to be missing out. Head over to central.wordcamp.org/schedule to get information on a WordCamp coming near you. We've got St. Louis coming up. We've got a couple folks from WDS heading that way. Dayton the same weekend, March 20th through the 22nd are those two camps. Atlanta the following weekend, San Diego the following weekend, 28th through the 29th. You're actually heading the same weekend as Dayton to London.
I'll be in London. I'm overseas. So if you're in London, you're in Europe, you're coming down, say hello. The Rad and Drad will be there.
I love it. So go check out central.wordcamp.org for upcoming event info. Jeffrey's in. I heart you. One of my favorite people in the world. I've known you for a lot of years, and it was exciting to have you on the show. I can't believe that we waited this long. So our apologies for that. Where can folks find you? What's the best place and way for people to get a hold of you?
Usually Twitter, Jeffrey's in. And my website is jzin.us.
And there is one of the founders of Pixel Jar. Head over to pixeljar.com. Go say hello to these folks. They're amazing. And repping the West Coast, OC till I die, baby. Where can we find you there, Big Brad?
Yeah, I'm all over Twitter, WilliamsBA.
Holy cow. And I'm at Dre Maida. For the Rad and Drad, I'm the doctor. Thanks for joining us on episode 75 with the master himself, Jeffrey Zinn. We're out, baby.
Thanks for having me.
Booyah. Booyah.
There you have it, folks, the latest edition of the Dradcast. If you dig the show, make sure you pass it on. If you have content for the show, want to submit to be a guest host, or just want to listen to older episodes, visit the Dradcast website at dradcast.com. While you're there, make sure you click the iTunes subscribe link to catch us on iTunes. Don't forget to follow at Dradcast on Twitter, and we thank you for tuning in. Join Dre and Brad plus a new guest host next week.
Yes!
On another episode of the Dradcast. Drag.